First hour of Issues Etc. today is Open Lines. You may have seen it on television last night, a feature, Channel 4 News, on Christian nightclubs. We're going to be hearing that feature here at the outset of Open Lines. I like your reaction to it. I approach this as I approach so many things nowadays, and that is as the father of a teenage girl. And I'm asking myself, if my daughter wanted to go to a Christian nightclub, should I let her go? I wouldn't let her go to a regular nightclub, but this doesn't have booze. It's Christian. It's got Christian music. I want your thoughts on it after we hear this Channel 4 feature from last night's news on Christian nightclubs here in the first hour of Issues Etc. Open lines 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In the second hour of the program, Robert Velarde will join us. We're going to talk about alternative medicine. What is it? Because, well, 20 years ago, alternative medicine would have included a lot of things that nowadays are mainstream, that you might even hear about at your doctor's office or get your insurance policy to pay for. So we'll be talking about alternative medicine, what Christians ought to know. In the second part of that second hour, Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. Today is Ash Wednesday. We'll find out what this day in the church's life is all about and the season of Lent as well. Then, in the third hour of the program, have you heard about the black contract with America? I hadn't. Now I have. We're going to talk about the black contract with America with and it has to do with moral values. Bishop Harry Jackson of the High Impact Coalition will be our guest in the third hour of the program, and that'll be followed by a conversation with Dr. James Hitchcock of St. Louis University. Two questions we're going to deal with there in that first hour. The new Vatican statement on marriage annulments. They're revising their policy, teaching, I don't know, their practice on annulments. And we'll ask the question of Dr. Hitchcock, should the Pope resign? It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. That's the lineup for the rest of today. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The topic here at the in the first hour, we've got other things to deal with too, but I want your reaction to this. Christian nightclubs, they're popping up around major cities everywhere. Some churches are even operating something like nightclubs on their premises. A normal nightclub, you know what this is all about. You go there and you come out smelling like cigarette smoke and beer. Sweat, cigarette smoke, and beer. People dancing. It gets raunchy real fast. Strobing lights. But a Christian nightclub, if your child or grandchild asked for permission on a Friday night, a Saturday night, to go visit a Christian nightclub, what would you do? I want your answer to that question in just a few minutes when we finish hearing from this Channel 4 feature, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It was last night on Channel 4, the news. Larry Connors kicked it off. Here he is.
Music sales across the country are down, but sales of contemporary Christian rock are up dramatically. And that boom is having a ripple effect in the nightclub industry. Donna Severies takes us inside the growing world of Christian nightclubs.
It pulses with energy in the heart of the Minneapolis Club District. A club so clean, Rolling Stone magazine proclaims anyone could feel free to throw down and perform a backspin. The largest nightclub in the city.
Business is excellent.
But if you think the draw is scantily clad dancers or a ready flow of alcohol, you need to think again. This is a Minneapolis meeting place with a message.
The purpose behind it was just to kind of let people know that God's cool.
Welcome to Club 3 Degrees, boasting 18,000 square feet. It is the largest and oldest Christian nightclub in the country.
Now, this may have the look and the sound of any other rock concert, but step inside this club just for a few minutes and you will quickly see that it is not. After all, when's the last time you heard the lead singer of a band talk about how much he loves his wife and kids up on stage?
Joe Rojas, lead singer for Seventh Day Slumber, here doing what's known in Christian circles as sharing, ministering to fans with messages of hope between songs and after each show.
I look at everybody in that crowd as someone that maybe I could speak into their life and help them.
The Christian scene is a world heavy on family values and absent of groupies.
It's not like there's like girls coming up after every show, and you know, there's not drugs backstage and that kind of stuff, you know. So it's a real safe environment, I think, for a lot of people, which is great.
Ben Cassica plays guitar for a rockin' Christian band known as Skillet. He also hails from St. Louis.
I think there's definitely cities that are lacking these kind of things. I knew growing up in St. Louis that there was not really any place for me to go. Like with my friends, it was like a safe place to go, you know.
We live in a world that makes it easy to forget how great Jesus is.
It's such music rooted in morality that's grown the contemporary Christian rock scene into a multi-million dollar business.
Really, in the last 3 or 4 years, you can drive almost anywhere and pick up a station.
Including St. Louis.
Give your life to Christ. He's the only one who can give you new stars.
So question, could St. Louis support a club like this? Well, this Minneapolis pastor has an answer. She'd be happy to spread the gospel, according to Club 3 Degrees.
I would love to see ministries like this duplicated all around the country. If they've got the same heart and the same passion that we do to help see that happen.
Now I asked Pastor Nancy Alexiuk about the large amount of money the Christian rock industry is currently making, whether she sees anything wrong with that in light of the fact that some Christian faiths ask their clergy to take a vow of poverty. Her reply was simply that it's all good. Money spells empowerment for Christian artists and their record companies, and that can only serve to spread their message of faith to a larger audience.
All right, that was the feature from last night, Channel 4 News. On Christian nightclubs, you may have seen it. You might have watched it with some interest. Maybe kind of mystified. When I heard this, I thought to myself, well, I had known these things were around for quite some time. But I react to this now the way I react to so many things in my life, and that is as the father of a teenage daughter. Now, if your daughter or granddaughter, your son or grandson, teenager, young person said, hey, let's say they're a teenager, they're going to still be asking you, they should be asking for your permission, I want to go on Friday night or Saturday night to the Christian nightclub. Would you say yes? 505-750-1800-730-2727. What are the positives of these Christian nightclubs, do you think? I mean, some of the things were mentioned in the story. There are no booze. No drugs, too, because that's another thing that you might will readily find in a regular nightclub. Family values, sharing. No groupies. They claim no groupies. I have a hard time believing that from what I have heard from people inside the Christian music industry. A safe environment. Now, the music is just as loud. The lights flash just as much. It stays open just as late. People dance just as hard. But it's safe. It's Christian. Would you let your kid go? 505-750-1800-730-2727. Can you see a downside to this at all? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Anything you want to talk about during open lines as well, but moms, come on. Oh, my daughter would never ask me to go to one of those places. Yeah, she will. Chances are she will. And she'll say, Mom, why won't you let me go? It's Christian. You wouldn't let her. I wouldn't let my daughter go to a regular nightclub. Not for all the money in the world. But if she came asking, can I go to the Christian nightclub? I don't know. All of the objections that I have as a father that I can think of to a regular nightclub ostensibly don't exist in the Christian nightclub. No booze, no drugs. There's family values. No debauchery. It's Wednesday, February the 9th. We're coming to you live here on Issues, Etc. The first hour, open lines for your questions and your comments. We're talking about Christian nightclubs. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. I never went to the nightclub scene when I was in high school or college. I went to a small town college. There was no such thing as a nightclub there. The closest we got to a nightclub was the Pizza Chick. It was a pizza place that also sold chicken. And believe me, it was nothing close to a nightclub. Oh, there was also the Sportsman Bar, which was just a small town bar. And you went in, And when you came out, you smelled like cigarette smoke and beer. And hamburgers, usually. Now, you could send your kid to one of these Christian nightclubs, and when they come out, they won't smell like cigarette smoke. No one's smoking in there. They won't smell like beer. No one's drinking in there. Their eyes might be a bit dazzled from the flashing lights, or their ears might be ringing from the loud music. Would you let your kid, your grandkid, go on a Friday or Saturday night? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I'm watching the calls line up. So far, men. Maybe men are the ones who care about these things. Mom wouldn't have a problem. Okay, let's talk to a few of those men. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Bill is up first calling from his car. Bill, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to comment on this as a musician. I've played jazz and blues for over 40 years and I still do. And my take on the Christian music is that if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it is a duck. I believe that the main appeal of this is the beat and the music. I saw snippets of the program last night, you know, how the kids were reacting and swaying back and forth. And it's essentially the music, not the message. And I'm not saying it's in and of itself bad. It's just that I don't believe that the main appeal is Christianity and the message of Jesus Christ. It's sort of a justification or an excuse to go to listen to this type of music.
Bill, how would you answer the question then if it was your kid or your grandkid who wanted to go on Friday or Saturday night to a Christian nightclub, and you still had the sway to say yes or no, what would your answer be?
I would try to very diplomatically persuade her not to, and I would give her reasons why.
So one of the reasons in your mind would be, why are you going? Is it really the message, or is it just the music, the lights, the excitement, the dancing?
I would have to say that the main appeal is the lights, the dancing, the excitement, and not the message. The message is incidental. I mean, it may get through to some, but it's not the right venue for presenting the gospel.
Before I let you go, Bill, you say you play jazz. What do you play?
Sax.
Good for you. Thank you very much. Unmined talents there in the Issues, Etc. audience that you never knew about. We got to hook him up with Fritz Bowie, a little combo. I know of a few others as well. Diane is calling from her car. Diane, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I just have an issue with putting the word Christian on things that don't have anything to do with the gospel. I think a nightclub would only be appropriate if it was the right age, and if it was just a dance. If you were talking about high school, you hope that the places you would say yes to your children would not have drinking, drugs, as you said, debauchery, be chaperoned, and if they're in college and they're going to go to a nightclub, you know, it's a whole different issue. It's like, are you ever going to go out the door? Are you only going to go to a Christian grocery store? And I just think I just hate it when they put the word Christian in front of secular things.
Thank you very much, Diane. I hadn't even thought about that, but you echo something that had always been rolling around in the back of my mind, and I had come to that conclusion myself before, that being Christian is a noun, not an adjective. Now, we can use it as an adjective. I'm not saying we should be strict about these things, but things, strictly speaking, aren't Christian. People are Christian. We could even talk about teaching or doctrine or content being Christian. We do that all the time here on the program. Nightclubs might be owned by Christians. They might be populated by Christians. They might be frequented by Christians. They might even have Christian music there. All of those things are fine and good. We could talk about a nightclub with Christian music. But I agree with her. It might be going a little too far to say Christian nightclub if it has nothing explicitly to do with the gospel. Now, see, notice, the gospel was not mentioned in the feature. None of the people who were given an opportunity to talk about how great the Christian nightclub was talked about, well, we're really talking here about the message of Jesus Christ. There was, I think I heard out of the corner of my ear, one of the people who were sharing there, apparently this is a new Christian practice, sharing, saying something about Jesus being the only way. And that's good. I'm glad to hear that. But most of it was about family values. In fact, it sounded like one of the owners of the club who was interviewed early in the feature said, we started this, the basic message we wanted to get out there was God's cool. Which, last time I checked, doesn't get anybody to heaven. A cool God might be, well, let's just look at it that way. Does God have to be cool? Does your God have to be cool? Does he have to be hip? There is a certain movement sometimes in African-American circles that says, look, I can't be saved by a white Jesus. My Jesus, my God's got to be black. Most black Christians repudiate that kind of a thing. Feminist theologians will say, a male God doesn't do it for me. A male God doesn't reach me where I need to be reached, and so they posit a female God. Are the hip among us saying that a God who isn't cool just doesn't do it for them? Does God have to be cool? I've always thought about God as beyond cool. Bob is calling from his car. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you doing, Todd?
Very well.
I'm glad to hear you talking about that. Actually, I did want watching that on the news last night, and you know, I come out of an evangelical background. I'm a member of a Missouri Synod church now, and have kids that are in that age bracket as well, one of which is a musician. And I really struggle with the words Christian music, for one thing. I mean, we've got CDs that are by, you know, Christian artists. We've got friends. We came out of that industry, so to speak. And it's any more, I hate to sound, I don't want to sound prudish, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with Christians playing music, provided that it's not, you know, it's not unclean, it's not, you know, rude or anything like that. But I really hate differentiating Christian music, because I think even the gal last night mentioned, where do you hear musicians saying they love their wives or they love their kids? And I've heard many secular artists say that kind of thing.
I can name about 100 country songs right now that say that very thing.
And I don't have a problem with that. And then your comment you just hit right before he put me on, God is cool. Boy, that just kind of burned. I thought, you know, God is God. God is not cool necessarily. He's beyond that type of a description.
Bob, so, thank you for the call. Fonzie? Is God Fonzie? I mean, Fonzie's not cool anymore. Questionable whether he ever really was, but is God up there giving us the divine thumbs up? Is he striking a pose? Is he whack? See, these just things sound so incongruous coming out of my mouth. I just can't. I tell my daughter that I am cool. That I am cool. In fact, I'm so cool I've come full circle around to being uncool. That's just how cool I am. And she actually buys it for now. Or at least she pretends to buy it just to humor dear old dad. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If your daughter, son, granddaughter, grandson said, I'd like to go to the Christian nightclub downtown on Friday night, when are you going to be home? Well, probably 2 or 3 in the morning. It doesn't close till 2 or 3, but it's a Christian nightclub, you know. How would you respond? Sally's calling from her car. Sally, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I've actually been to a Christian nightclub that was here in St. Louis some years ago after I went through a divorce and was single, and it was really tough because all my friends were oriented around their family and kids, and you kind of just don't fit in. So I went several times, and it was extremely frustrating because, you know what, you can take the booze out, you can take the drugs out, but you can't take the sex out. And there's still guys looking to pick up a girl. I don't, you know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have any sex drive. The other thing is I have a college-age daughter right now, and I don't think she'd be inclined to go because of the fact that she doesn't particularly like Christian music, as far as, you know, it tends to be decision theology and not in line with our Lutheran theology. So she would rather not go someplace like that. You know, she'd rather go to Castleloom Ballroom and dance to some good swing music. Hmm. I'll hang up to listen.
All right. Thank you, Sally. Well, that's interesting from someone who has experience themselves that it can still be a meat market. Now, they had said no groupies in the feature, at which point, when we were listening to this before we came on the air, I gave an exclamation of incredulity. Something to the effect, that's nonsense. I mean, I've talked with people out of the Christian music industry. And Lori Lewis, I can think of in particular, and Brett Balfour, who will readily tell you that there are groupies just as much as in any other. Someone gets famous, gets up on a stage, strums a guitar. There are groupies. Look, I work in Christian radio. There are groupies. Don't tell me there aren't groupies. Well, Sally, thank you very much. Now, that would be my concern. I mean, I would be concerned about the booze and the drugs and all the other things with a regular nightclub, but the fear that strikes the deepest chord in my heart as a father, if my daughter wants to go to a nightclub, is the sex. She's going to go and be ogled by men and young men all night long. She's cute. And I'd say, honey, I'm sorry, you're too cute. I can't let you go. Now go into your room and I'm going to lock the door. But they're Christian men. This is a Christian nightclub. Yeah, I was a Christian young man once, too. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or those of you who are saying, oh, come on, Christian men won't do that. We can trust these young men. What if it's your daughter? Do you want to take the chance? Carl is calling from St. Louis. Carl, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. I have a real problem with all of this, and I would like your take on where is all this going. Somewhere in California, they have been bringing hip-hop in the church. Now I hear that they have a church nightclub. None of this has anything to do with Christ as a whole, because didn't he say, come ye out from among them? Either way you go back, how you go back through this way or that way, aren't you still back out in the world? I'd like to hear your take on that.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, we'll say, for the sake of argument, and I like the way Carl's thinking, though, at what point when the church and Christians emulate the world, ape the culture, ape the world, do they end up being just like the world? Except in a more sanitized kind of Christian ghetto version of it. Isn't that really the basic? Carl's right. That's the basic question down here on the whole issue of the Christian nightclub. Whether or not you let your child go, maybe the whole enterprise is ill-conceived. What's the philosophy behind it? We're going to imitate the world in every possible way, except those ways that we would find morally objectionable. Now, at one point, does imitating the world end you, as Carl says, right back up where you thought you weren't? That is, trying so hard to imitate what you think is wrong, by sanitizing it, you end up just like the world. We'll talk more about it on the other side of this break. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc., 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And when we get back, we'll take your phone calls right away.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Joshua is one of the towering figures of the Old Testament, a successor to the prophet Moses, the first of the judges. He leads God's people into and through the promised land. But as great as Joshua is in the Old Testament, does he serve to prefigure someone even greater? Is there a connection between Joshua in the Old Testament and our Savior Jesus Christ in the New? Our Issues, etc., Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Joshua, is a Christ-centered and cross-focused reading of this Old Testament book. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find information there on the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, our Issues, etc., Book of the Month for February. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Now this Global Minute lets you know it's the year of the rooster. That's according to the Chinese calendar. The Chinese use 12 animals to represent their annual cycles, and the new year occurs on the second new moon after the winter solstice. Easy to remember. And accurate, say scholars. There's also a spiritual side to New Year's celebration. Red is popular amongst the Chinese because it's considered the color of luck. Legend has it that firecrackers exploding in the streets scare away demons. Posters with the word luck are seen in homes and shops of large cities and smaller villages. Pray for the Chinese this new year. Estimates place the number of Christians at about 10% in mainland China, home to well over a billion souls. Pray many more Chinese families will hear about the sovereignty of Christ and His desire to make all things new for them. Get prayer updates for people around the world by visiting the website missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. In his 1946 book, The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis describes a varied collection of people who push and shove to get on a bus out of hell. When the bus makes a stop on its journey, some residents of heaven come and meet the people leaving hell. One person from heaven recognizes a person from the bus from hell. "You were sent there because you are an apostate." "Are you serious?" "Perfectly." "Do you really think people are penalized for their honest opinions?" Friend, let's be frank. Our opinions were not honestly come by. We simply found ourselves in contact with a certain current of ideas and plunged into it because it seemed modern and successful. When, in our lives, did we honestly face, in solitude, the one question on which all turned, whether, after all, the supernatural might not in fact occur? When did we put up one moment's real resistance to the loss of our faith? We were afraid of crude salvationism, afraid of a breach with the spirit of the age, afraid of ridicule, afraid of real spiritual fears and hopes. How many Ash Wednesdays have you lived through? How much of your simple, pure childhood faith have you lost? It's Lent. Worship to reclaim it.
Do something for yourself, somebody you know, and AM 850 KFUO. Become a day sponsor during February. We have many days available for day sponsorship, and we need you to call us and choose a day. How about saluting someone who deserves a little recognition? You can do it with several 30-second announcements as a day sponsor. Sign up through the secure support page at kfuo.org or give us a call. We need you to be a February day sponsor on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Open lines here in the first hour of the program for about another 25 minutes. We're talking about a feature last night on Channel 4 News. Maybe you saw it on Christian nightclubs. I thought it was going to be a feature on Christian music, but it turned out to be a feature on the latest venue for some of the Christian music, and that is the Christian nightclub. No booze, no drugs, family values, lots of sharing between songs. No groupies, that I have questions about, but no velvet ropes. Think about it. I mean, a Christian nightclub isn't going to make you stand outside like so many nightclubs in the larger cities would. Seeing if you rate, you know what this is like. I mean, I've never done this before, but I've seen it depicted in many different places. You got your nightclub, their entrance, and then there's a bouncer standing outside and the velvet rope. And he decides who comes in and who goes. It all started with Studio 54 in Los Angeles. It's kind of an exclusive thing to be invited in. You can show up and you can stand outside the club for, this happens in St. Louis at certain clubs, you can stand outside all night long, and if the bouncer doesn't decide to let you in, you might as well go to Denny's. So how you're dressed and what you look like. Now, that makes an attraction in a lot of nightclubs. I don't think they'd be doing that at a Christian nightclub. Yeah. He says here on my screen, "At this time of year, Todd, I recommend that you wear plenty of clothes. You'd be waiting outside for a long, long time." Of course I would. Unless they recognize that I am that kind of cool that has come full circle.
Or they're groupies.
Or groupies, yeah, that's true. Maybe if I showed up as a groupie, I'm with the band. That would get me in. Look, okay, I'm going to speak from a little bit of experience here. I spent the better part of my early high school and college years going to Christian rock concerts. I liked it. And I went. Now, at first, this was very early in the whole popularity of Christian rock concerts. It was Amy Grant with her guitar and a venue of maybe 3,000 people. I saw her like three times. By the time I saw her the last time in Lincoln, Nebraska or Omaha or someplace, it was 17,000 people. I could barely see her on the stage. It wasn't just a teenage girl with a guitar anymore. And there were groupies. Girls and boys. And you know, Amy Grant's a good example there of the fact that you could be a Christian artist and she ends up divorcing and marrying some guy that, you know, people wondered whether or not they were hot on each other before they divorced their respective spouses. So much for how clean things that are called Christian turn out to be. Okay, my question for you, if your granddaughter or daughter or son or grandson wanted to go to a Christian nightclub on Saturday night or Friday night, would you say yes? After all, it's Christian. Now, you heard the music in the feature, and if not, as time permits, we might play it again here in the course of the first hour. A lot of the music was pretty hard rock. It sounded to me like Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's what it sounded like to me. Or Beastie Boys. I'm dating myself. Is rock music incompatible with Christianity? The message is clear in a lot of these songs, if you just read the lyrics. That is, if you can understand the lyrics. I'm starting to sound like my dad. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Mary calls from St. Louis. Hi, Mary. Mary, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Okay. My comment is... The Christian people go to the Christian nightclub. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say no, because God don't need any help. And he tells us in his word, he says, upon this rock I'll build my church. And he tells us, don't forget to assemble ourselves together. It's the word that draws the people through the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't sound like Christian rock. Is not spiritual.
Mary, thank you very much. Yeah, what is it that attracts people to the Christian nightclub? Well, we're attracted by everything except those things that would repel Christians from the normal nightclub. So what would that be? The message is different. The music is the same. The message is different. There's still lights. There's still a dance floor. There's a bar. They might just be selling soft drinks. Bottled water. You know, maybe one of the first things I'd ask my daughter if she said, I want to go to a Christian nightclub, is, why do you want to go? That was one of the earliest callers here. Suggestion, why do you want to go? Bill said, I would try and figure out why it is, what's attracting them. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Cheryl calls from her car. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Todd. I was thinking back to when Harry Potter was such a big controversy, and I remember what you did, at least I think this is what you did, is you went ahead and read it with your daughter, and I guess I would apply the same principle. If you had a child who really wanted to go, then I would say, okay, we're going to go, but we're not going to just open ourselves up to it. Let's go, but let's go for an hour and a half, and then we're going to talk about it. Talk about the theology presented, talk about everything.
Cheryl, I like the way you're thinking, but I'm wondering if I said to my teenage daughter, oh yeah, let's go, I'm coming with you. You were a teenage girl once.
Sure. Maybe you dress kind of cool and you stay on the other side of the room.
That's even worse. That's even worse. Cheryl, thank you very much. I know what you're saying, but believe me, you could pimp me out any way you want to, and I am not going to fit in. I'm just not. It is not going to happen. I have passed that age that I can pull that off. Really, I'll tell you the truth, I never could pull it off. And I'm not going to pull it off at 40 if I couldn't have pulled it off at 20. I just got, Jeff is just laughing his head off in there. ridiculing me mercilessly. So, I mean, if I said to my daughter, yes, honey, let's go. And Cheryl, I understand what you're talking about. That is, I think, in matters like the books we read, that's good advice. But and my daughter said, fine, we will read it together. In fact, she didn't mind because I got to do all the reading. She just got to listen. But if I said, let's go to the Christian nightclub together, I think she's going to say, yeah, that's fine, Dad, as long as you stay in the car and drop us off four blocks away. Barb is calling from St. Charles. Barb, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. I am all for this. I'm a grandmother. I had my grandson in my car, and he put a tape in. Believe me, kids listen to tapes. Even though I didn't understand one word the tape was saying, my grandson knew those words. If it's got the Lord in it and they're shouting about, as long as the Lord is in it, I say praise God, because at least Jesus uses many ways to draw his people, and this might be one of them. You might not agree with it. I might not agree with it. But believe me, kids are out there doing things we don't know about. And if they're doing things in a Christian nightclub with Christian music and they're praising God, let's not criticize them. It's hard enough for kids. As long as they're dancing to the music of Jesus and listening to the music of Jesus, I say give them a break.
Barb, just a question before I let you go, though. And thank you, by the way, because I think you're the first caller to be supportive of the idea of a Christian nightclub and sending your kids to a Christian nightclub. But is it possible to misuse the name of the Lord?
You know what? You can pull straws at anything. Of course it would be. But I'm saying, my grandchildren go to a private school, but I'm saying that it's so hard for those kids out there today. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's being misused. I think that.
But I'm asking, is it possible to misuse the name of the Lord?
Yes, you can. It's possible for anything. But I was excited when I saw this on television, because our young people need to hear the Lord. And if it's loud music, at least it's going to draw kids that might never have heard the name of Jesus.
All right, Barb, thank you. I don't know. I think the kids who are merely attracted by the loud music are going to go where the loud music is better and louder, and where the nightlife is a little livelier, I think. I mean, the kids who are just saying, I like the music, I know that's the kind of the idea, that we've got to accommodate ourselves to what the kids today like. I know that's the rationale. I think more often than not, it's what the parents today like, to tell you the truth. And if you're attracted by the music, why go for the sanitized version, given the propensities of our children? Now, the reason I asked the question about misusing the name of the Lord, there's actually a whole commandment devoted to that little subject. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And that's because the potential exists to misuse the Lord's name, to wrongly use his name. Just because kids are shouting Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that that's Jesus' name being rightly used. Just because music has Jesus' name in it doesn't mean it's necessarily rightly using Jesus' name. Lisa calls from Houston, Texas, listens on the Internet. Lisa, welcome.
Hello. I was just going to say, you can't go by just the name. Christian Scientist is neither Christian nor scientific. But Barb, I'd love to ask Barb, which child has not heard the name of Jesus used as a cuss word? They've heard the name. They haven't heard the gospel.
Thank you, Lisa. Good point. Good point. Okay. We were talking about this during the break. Could this be, this could be completely harmless. Children will do what children do. This is the way I kind of look at this thing. This is child stuff. This is the stuff that you're supposed to, as Paul says, at some point, outgrow, put away childish ways. So I wouldn't be alarmed. I wouldn't lock my daughter in the closet if she said, I want to go to a Christian nightclub. I might even say, yeah, go. Now, for those, now I know there are more than just Barb who would say, fine, why are you making a big deal out of it? Quit nitpicking. Okay, let's say it was a nightclub I ran. It's my kind of Christianity. And when they hear the songs sung, I'm going to be singing about baptismal regeneration and the real presence of the Lord's Supper, of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Still want to send your kid? And I'm going to be telling them they can't make a decision for Jesus Christ, that he did it all from beginning to end. Still want to send your kid? And I'm going to be saying God isn't cool. The music may be cool, but God isn't. God is God, like one of our callers said before. Still want to send your kid? I'm going to be telling them that the Left Behind series is nonsense. And that much of what they receive, I'll be doing Issues, Etc., nightclub style. Still want to send your kid? And it's a Christian nightclub. You see, the content will matter to you at some point, won't it? Now, let's flip the coin over. More likely than not, they're not going to be hearing about baptismal regeneration or the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, or that the Left Behind series is nonsense. They're going to be hearing, in fact, the opposite. Baptism is nothing. Your decision does everything. They're going to be hearing that the Lord's Supper, if they hear about it at all, is just an outward ordinance and an empty remembrance. They're going to be hearing that the Left Behind series, in fact, they're probably going to be encouraged to buy it. Just because it's Christian doesn't mean that the message is neutral. There's going to be a content there. I think this is analogous to what kind of church you'd send your kid to, even though this is not church. If your kid came and said, I want to go to the local Baptist church, and you're Lutheran, you're going to say, I'm not sure that they're really even teaching you the truth there. Now, let's be realistic. What does most of the Christian music nowadays, not all of it, but most of the Christian music nowadays, teach? Does it teach the truth of God's word, or does it focus mostly on what's going on in someone's heart? I mean, let's be realistic. Don is calling from Creve Coeur. Don, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I don't have any problem with what they're doing, you know, if they're Christians playing music or having their own little nightclub. But when they call it Christian, whatever, Christian rock band, Christian nightclub, that's where we're selling the world a false bill of goods. They look at it as just a bunch of people under the law with a bunch of rules, not trying to have as much fun as them, who are free to do whatever they want to do. It has nothing to do with Christianity or Jesus. It could be a Mormon nightclub, and it probably looked exactly the same.
Well, actually, it's amazing. We were just thinking along the same lines. Don, thank you. What if the Mormons opened a nightclub? Now, they didn't push any specific Mormon teachings. They didn't have the Book of Mormon there for everyone to take home. But it was just exactly as it's described in the feature on Channel 4. No booze, no drugs, because Mormons don't get into that stuff. No cigarettes. They don't get into that stuff anymore. Family values, no groupies, a safe environment, no velvet ropes, but the same beat, the same rhythm that attracts the young people. The same flashing lights, the same late nights. It is a safe environment. Now, it doesn't call itself Christian, although nowadays the Mormons might call it Christian. They don't have a problem with that word anymore. It's safe. You might say, well, it's better than going to a regular nightclub, isn't it? Yeah, better. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. 10 minutes left in open lines. And then we'll be talking about alternative medicine with Robert Velarde and Ash Wednesday. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest there in the second hour as well. Ann is up next. She calls from Crestwood. I'm sorry, Ann from St. Louis.
Hi, Pastor. I just wanted to say that... you know, as far as the Christian nightclubs go, I mean, I just think that that's completely a contradiction in terms. And the guy on the radio or on the television saying, we just want people to know that God is cool, I just think that somebody somewhere has lost their mind. I mean, do they even know the God of the Old Testament? Well, you couldn't even the Jews couldn't even touch the Ark of the Old or the Ark of the Covenant without being blasted. I mean, have they not read anything about God at all? It just seems so so American and so, I don't know, just like devaluing to have the nerve to say God is cool. It just really made me sad.
Anne, so thank you. I mean, it's a little bit like saying God's good looking. It does trivialize the person of God a bit, and I agree. I will tell you one thing. In the Old Testament, when they were forbidden to even approach God in the Holy of Holies, it wasn't because he was in there being cool. It had more to do with his holiness and his wrath against sin. Sandra calls from Peavely. Sandra, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon. Very interesting. I know the one lady says, well, whatever, it helps them. But, I mean, I'm of the Pat Boone era, and I know how many years ago Pat Boone, three, 4 years ago, he decided to try and get to the rock stars and dress like them. Well, I haven't heard. Has that really, really helped Christianize the rock stars he's after? And just because it's a Christian nightclub, it's still called a nightclub. So does that make that you graduate to a more adult nightclub and you can go when you're older to the regular nightclubs? It just gives you a false idea. I'm sorry. The lady that said about the word, they need to hear the word, but along with that, naturally, is example. We as Christians have to show patience and example, and I think that reaches children and teenagers the best way.
Thanks, Sandra. Well, and we had talked about that during the break, too. Does it become an entrance into something else? Where the kid says, well, yeah, when I was young and in the youth group, we went to the Christian nightclubs, but now that I'm older in college, I don't see a real big difference except that the message, I can't understand the words anyway, so it doesn't matter, and I'm going to go into the regular nightclub. I mean, the appetite for the loud music, the social life, the night scene has already been created, it seems. You say, well, they're going to go to nightclubs anyway, so we might as well give them the Christian alternative. Which seems to me a little bit like saying, well, they're going to shoot guns anyway, so we might as well give them an unloaded gun. Up next, Ellen from Baldwin. Ellen, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Wilkin.
Hi.
I just want to quickly quote two people you've had speak on your program in recent years. One time, Dr. Montgomery mentioned that when you listen to the words of some of this contemporary Christian music, a guy could be out on a dance floor with his girlfriend crooning the same words in her ear. And then another time there was a lady from Fort Wayne who was a music professor, and she mentioned that this music, the mentality is like almost like Jesus is my boyfriend. And I'm just thinking, I mean, my kids are probably more your age, and I don't remember in my day or even with my middle-aged kids, Jesus was not our playmate. We didn't speak of him in terms of lovey-dovey, fluffy boyfriend kind of talk. We're in the world, but we're not of it. And I'll just hang up and listen to your comment.
Ellen, thank you. And you, by the way, she mentions Dr. John Warwick Montgomery and Dr. Barbara Resch. And boy, does Ellen have a memory. Because it's been a while since we've had Barb Resch on. This is what's happening, however. This is what is now popular, not only in Christian nightclubs, but in the church. Jesus has taken on a very, well, I'll say, the personal relationship with Jesus, and I've written most recently about this in the Next Issues, Etc. journal, in an article I've called Churches for Girls. This personal relationship with Jesus, which in and of itself is a good thing, has now been reinterpreted to be something romantic. And if if in some cases, even erotic. The same, now, Sally said before when she called, you can take the booze and the drugs and the cigarettes out, but you can't take the sex out. There's still men there trolling for women. Rich is calling from Muskuta. Rich, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. I was thinking, you know, about the topic of what you're talking about here, and I guess my concern is to think, well, now when the kids go to this nightclub, do they think that they're worshiping God in some way, or is it purely a secular, clean environment where, you know, they're not being exposed to all the evils of alcohol, drugs, and that type of thing? And if kids think that they're worshiping God, then I'll probably have some concern with that, because you know, when you look at the words used for worship in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's one that involves humbly prostrating yourself before God, and one that involves worshiping inside in the heart. And of course, that concept of humbling yourself in reverence before God is completely gone. And so I would say that in some sense, it's false worship just by how it is done.
Rich, thanks for the call. Our time runs short. A few final thoughts. Yes. In fact, I think in the feature, someone did call it worship, which might surprise some of these kids' pastors who think that worship was Sunday morning, and the kids, you might find out, going to the Christian nightclubs really are thinking, no, this is better than church. In fact, there's a new thing. It's not that new, actually, but we're going to be watching this on Issues, etc. The emerging church, a lot of them are doing church exactly in nightclub style. They write in all no capital letters, and they're very extremely hip, so much hipper than the rest of us. And they're telling us that the church needs to move on into this kind of thing. We'll be watching that. You know, Christian nightclubs, I doubt any of them can really probably make a go of it. Some of them might in a big city like Milwaukee and keep a following there. Sooner or later, those young Christians are going to grow into older Christians and hopefully put aside their childish ways and stop thinking like children and start thinking like men and women. I have a bigger problem, tell you the truth, with pastors who, deep in their heart of hearts, would rather be nightclub managers. But they're not going to go out and start a Christian nightclub. They're just going to try and turn their church into a Christian nightclub. Well, actually, some of them are starting Christian nightclubs in their churches. What they really want to do is be running a nightclub. They like the flash and the dash and the stage and keeping the amps amped and the excitement high and building the mood like you do every night in a nightclub and choreographing the evening. Running churches, they're not that interested in. That's a bigger problem when the nightclub comes to church. When we come back, we'll talk about alternative medicine with Robert Velarde.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.